Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. Whether you are an entrepreneur climbing the corporate ladder or a work-from-home parent, you are a boss. I am Teresa Rand, an entrepreneur, mother, grandmother, wife, and former CEO.
And I'm Jennifer Roberts, a wife, mom, and a woman who walked away from a corporate PR career to embrace entrepreneurship. Join us as we break down strategies, tools, and techniques that will enhance your career and life.
If you desire to make your life extraordinary, to reach and exceed your personal and professional goals, and to learn from other strong leaders, then the Boss Lady Podcast is for you.
Together, we will embrace, empower, and educate each other.
This is the Boss Lady Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. I'm Jennifer Roberts along with Teresa Rand. We are excited to be here today to talk to you about mental health. And today, well, this month, May, is Mental Health Awareness Month. So we thought it would be a great idea to, you know, I guess kind of tear back the curtain on some things related to mental health, because there's been a stigma a lot of times with people not wanting to talk about mental health or feeling maybe like they're alone in their mental health journey. Now, certainly, I will say in the last few years, there's been a lot of conversation around this topic. So hopefully that's getting better. But Teresa has found an article with some new statistics that maybe we're moving in the right direction, but there's still some room for improvement, I think.
Absolutely, Jennifer. This is a topic that I look back in past episodes, and we've talked about it every year, Mental Health Month. But you're right, there's a little positive movement, but not a lot. Even today on the news this morning, they were talking about it and how more and more people are feeling lonely. Which is crazy, right? Because we think we're so connected.
Yeah.
But we're really not. We're really not. So feelings of loneliness do not mean you are alone. You can be lonely in a whole big room full of people, right? But this article that you're referring to is from SHRM, which is the Society of Human Resource Managers. And it's a group that I am part of. It's a great organization, both nationally and locally. So, because they have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in today's workforce. And I'm going to start here. And this is not a good statistic. It says approximately half of workers report feeling used up. 51% feel used up, and 45% feel emotionally drained or burned out from their work. Half.
Yeah.
Of people. And, you know, I did a workshop not too long ago on people, companies trying to retain employees. And I looked up some other information and got from HBR and different stuff that 60% of people are looking for a job on any given moment. So I find that it's interesting, right? The correlation of how many people are feeling used up, taken advantage of, emotionally drained. And it's pretty darn close to how many people are looking for jobs.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. You know, sometimes I look at statistics like this and I look for myself in them too. Like, how do I relate to that? Is that how I feel about my job? And, you know, sometimes it's hard for me, and maybe it's hard for the responders in these surveys too, to separate where the stress is coming from. Because I have a hard time. Like, is work stressing me out? Yes, because it's work, right? Like, even if your work lights you on fire, there's a certain amount of responsibility and stress and production, I don't care what you do, that goes along with that, right? If you're the CEO, you still have a boss. You have a board, you have customers. You know, like, there's always some stress that happens in work. And then I think combined with the amount of stress at home, right? So if you're a parent, if you're caring for aging parents, if you're, where does the stress line divide? Because I have a hard time saying, oh, it's all work, because it's really easy to say it's all work. And is it the combo of the work and the things that are going on in your personal life? For me, that's what I find a lot, is that it's all the things together that is really creating the overwhelm. And I do agree that most of the time work is probably carrying the lion's share of the load versus the home life. At least that's been my experience. But that always makes me curious.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a combination of everything, especially if you have children at home. And I shouldn't say that, because so often we think the only people that are stressed are people that have kids at home and are working. And that's not true. You don't have to have kids to be stressed. You know, I have children with kids, children without kids, and the stress level is the same. But even you and I, my kids are grown, yours are teenagers. One's about to graduate as we speak. So congratulations on that. But I think as women, we have a tendency to want to be perfect in all arenas. And we put so much pressure on ourselves. And it's interesting, because you were at my house yesterday and we got a lot done, but we both left saying we didn't get everything we needed to get done done. And when you left, I sat down at my computer and this article actually popped up. And that's when I sent you an email and said, you know what? We need to plan time to get together where it's not all about work. Mm-hmm. Because we're business partners, we have a tendency to get together and that's all we talk about. And we were friends before we were business partners. So that's okay, are we creating our own stress? And I don't want to make anyone feel that they are in total control. There are all types of mental health issues that you need assistance with. And just getting a massage and doing yoga is not going to solve the problem.
Right.
So I get that. But what are we doing in our workplace to eliminate as much as we can? Another interesting stat in this is that 33%, because you mentioned even CEOs have people to report to. And as a former CEO, I can tell you the stress level magnifies when you become the CEO. From day one to day two, it's an entirely different world, because everybody is looking at you. Everybody is weighing on the words you say. Everybody, you feel like you are responsible for all of your employees, and in many ways you are. So what are you doing in that leadership position to set some boundaries? And it's difficult. But in this report, it says that 33% of people say that a leadership role is not worth the stress that comes with it.
I've heard that so many times in a variety of different organizations.
Not everybody's looking to climb that corporate ladder because it's not worth it.
Yep.
And I actually think those are wise decisions for people to make. And the younger generation is doing a far better job than my generation did of saying, nope, that is not acceptable. And I will go somewhere else.
You know, to kind of go back to our conversation from yesterday, we said we didn't want to get all the things done. We were disappointed because we didn't get all the things done that we wanted to get done on our list. But the other piece of that is our list was unrealistic.
Amen.
For the time that we had. And I think that happens at work too, right?
Like, yeah.
So it happens, you know, are there enough people to do the job that's expected? Is the workload more than one human can tackle? Right. And there isn't always budget for more full-time employees. Right. There isn't, you know, the workforce is getting, as a consultant and someone who fills in the gaps in corporate communications when there are holes, I am finding plenty of work for myself because companies are getting clever at how do we get more done with the people we have, but bring in some people who are not full-time employees that can bridge us through the situation we're
in. Absolutely.
they're getting more creative, I think. It's at least from where I sit in the cheap seats, of how can we make sure that we're not burdening the people that are working for us, and we're bringing in some help, even though temporarily, to bridge a gap, whether it's a maternity leave gap, whether it's a big project gap, whether it's, oh, we just had three people leave gap, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's, I applaud companies for getting creative when right. they are hearing the word, no, we don't have more budget to hire another full-time employee. They're getting crafty. And yeah. I think that's good.
I think employers are paid. There is still a stigma, but I believe, and I'm seeing, because I've been hired recently to do two mental wellness seminars for two large companies that are actually having what they call stress-free or de-stress months. And these are large companies that, to your point, are bringing somebody in to talk about mental health, which is huge, because the employers in the past did not, I don't want to say they didn't care, but you kept your personal life personal. You kept your medical life personal. You did not go into the office and say, I need a mental health day. You would have gotten a lot of mental health days in a row.
Yeah.
Unpaid.
And no paycheck. Right.
Right. So I think employees are paying a lot more attention to it. And that's a good sign, but there's still more to do.
Yeah, clearly the statistics here are showing us that there's opportunities, right, for improvement. You know, as I was looking at, they have a graphic that accompanies this article, and the one thing that I thought was actually really, it surprised me, honestly. So they broke down mental health factors in the workplace mm-hmm. into three buckets: job, coworkers, and manager. And I was so impressed. In the manager area, people said that their manager had, very few people said they had a negative impact from their manager. And, you know, the statistics I hear over and over again talk about, why do people leave a job? They don't like their boss.
Right.
They don't like their boss. But in this category, 19% of the respondents said that their manager had a negative impact on their mental health. 37% said it was neutral, and 44% said their manager had a positive impact on their mental health. I find that very surprising.
Right. I agree.
The job on the other hand.
The job that's causing the stress.
Right. The job category, it was almost even across the board, the negativity, yeah. neutral, and positive mental health impact. So it was like almost a third, a third, and a third.
Right. So it's being overburdened. And we know, and what's interesting to me about this is so many people are now working from home, and we're like, you work from home, how can you be stressed? Well, we go back to not feeling like you belong, feeling lonely, feeling isolated, not feeling part of the team. And they talk about sense of belonging, how important that is to an employee. I need to feel heard. I need to feel recognized. I'm going to give an example, and I won't say who it is, obviously, but a recent, it's not a client, a person I know, had an employee that they were about to let go. This particular person became a partner in the organization and made it a point to give this person that they were going to let go an extra opportunity, an extra chance, started bringing her into more meetings, started having water cooler conversations with her, started talking to her about her job trajectory, her pay increase, all of those things. That employee is now one of the best employees he has.
Wow.
Because she feels heard. Before, she did not feel heard. And it shows on here that workers who feel like they belong are more, they're not the ones looking for jobs. They will mm-hmm. not take a job that pays more money if you're giving them what they need in this category, category, which is work-life balance, flexibility, and acknowledging that mental health is a real thing. It is a real thing. So from a business standpoint, not only is it the right thing to do to pay attention to your employees' mental health, but it's a business financial decision.
Yeah. And that's such so important from a corporate perspective. I don't know, maybe I've gone one podcast episode without talking about this particular topic, but because I feel like I say it so much. But for those of us who are not in a corporate environment, who don't have a team because we're solopreneurs, or maybe we work with one other human that works for us, or maybe we work in a small business, not having a team is hugely impactful. And it is the number one reason that I became part of the Boss Lady community.
Yeah.
Because I was used to having a team of people and I was really lonely. All of a sudden, yes, it was this was even before COVID.
It was before COVID.
So it was like before the work at home thing was a thing, before isolation was a thing during COVID, I was still hungry for female friends. I mean, I had female friends. It wasn't that I didn't have friends. People that were into work and interested in talking about work and moving themselves forward. Like I needed those people in my life. And I had that in a corporate job and I didn't have that as a solopreneur. And so I had to go find it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I just read an article. I actually sent it to my mother and talked to her about it last night about super agers. And if you're over 80 and healthy, you're considered a super ager. My mother will soon be 85 and you know her, and she dances and she lives by herself. She drives. She's all the things. But the gist of the article is that these super agers have strong social networks. It makes their brain work better and it makes their body work better. So it's just fascinating, but we don't always take that into the workplace. Like you said, work is work. And it's supposed to be work. But, you know, work can be fulfilling and purposeful and fun, too. Not all the time, you know, but quite frankly, life is not fun all the time. A lot of my not fun times were because of family stuff, not work stuff.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, whether we're an employer or an employee, where does mental health awareness, where does it fall on our spectrum? Are we taking care of it for ourselves? And if we have people that report to us or that we're responsible for in the workplace, are we asking the questions? Are we talking about it? Like these companies that are talking about, you know, bringing me in to do workshops on meditation and you know, holistic living. Is it okay to say, when I have a mental need in the workplace? And it should be. And if the workplace looks at that seriously, then you're going to have an employee maybe for life. Because at the end of the day, as humans, when we become employees, we're still human and we want people to care about us. We want people to care about us from our head to our toe. So it's not as simple as, okay, we're going to bring a yoga instructor in. That's good. That's a start.
Right.
But it's a deeper dive than that on the employee side or employer side. So whose responsibility is it for mental health? I think it's both, right?
It is. I think people have to be able to recognize, even if they don't communicate it directly to their employer, giving them employers that give their team members space and time to make better mental health decisions for themselves. I think, because I'm not 100% sure, I'm still in the category of, hey, I need a mental health day. I could talk about that, but I'm not sure that I would call off the day at work to say I need a mental. But if it's structured in my benefits package in some way, or if there's an opportunity to if that is embraced or welcomed in the culture, then I think you make it more, you make it possible
right,
for people
absolutely.
To pay attention to their own mental health, because the employer, here's where the employer, I think, sometimes gets the short end of the stick. They don't know when you need a mental health day.
Right.
Yes, they need to be putting programs and things in place. They need to be doing the things, the water cooler talking, the checking in, the asking the questions, making sure that you're not overwhelmed. We're all of those things, but only you get to decide when it's too much. And I think that's part of the two-way street that we have to be aware of, that we as employees or business owners or whatever we are, to recognize that in ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a two-way street, just like everything else. You know, mm-hmm. We're at the end of the day, we're responsible for ourselves, but it's certainly nice to be in an environment, whether it's a community like our Boss Ladies, or it's your work environment where you know other people care too. That's really all it's about. You know, the example I gave, this woman needed to feel, as we all do, heard and appreciated. And once she was heard and appreciated, she's a great employee. Before, she wasn't a bad employee. She was doing just enough to get by. Now she's doing more. You know, so it's just the right thing to do. And yes, it's our responsibility, but it certainly is rewarding now, I guess is the word, or to know that employees are taking it more seriously, because mental health is a community problem.
Yes.
It's everybody's problem. And we all need to work together to help take care of each other. You know, and we'll segue into, that's one of the things that our Boss Lady Leadership community does is, you know, we call ourselves, we're not a networking group. We're there to empower, embrace, and educate each other. And even in our monthly mastermind groups across the county, women connect on what's going on in their life, not just what's going on at work. And being able to share what's going on in your life in a safe space is incredibly important. So again, I know we talk about this all the time, but we see it in action all the time, right? We see it happen.
Every month. Yep.
We see it happen all the time. So couple of action items. We always end with action items. And for this particular topic, we want to just ask you to really sit down and ask yourself, and maybe journal it out, write it down. What are you doing for your own mental health? Now, we're not talking about self-care here. I love self-care. I'm a champion of self-care. My nails, my hair, my massage, all of those things. And I think that is part of my mental health. But seriously, what are you doing to take care of your own mental health? And then when you think about the second part of that, if you're with an employer that is not doing enough, in your opinion, have you had a conversation with them? You know, a lot of times those CEOs or the boss, they're running around. We already said it's the job that's causing the stress. So your manager may be under stress that's multiplied. Have you stopped and just had a conversation? And maybe it's a coffee cup conversation. I'd like to go to coffee and talk about what can our business do to focus on our employees' mental health. You know, it's not a blaming game. It's a what can we do together? Because all kind of companies are putting employee resource groups together. Those are the groups that have me coming in for the meditation stuff. It's these resource groups that get to decide what they want. So maybe offer to lead one of those.
And always coming in with a solution or a suggestion is always preferred than coming at it, this is a problem, and how are you going to fix it?
Right. And of course, we'll leave you with this last thing. If you are suffering from mental health issues, go and get some help. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to think is always going to correct itself. Ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. We all need help sometime. And getting help, asking for help, allows other people to give you a gift. So don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it in this arena. And we'll close today like we always do. Remember to make time to embrace, empower, and educate yourself and others. Until we meet again,